Man, we got to, you know, it is so good to be home, love Believers Chapel, loved watching Believers Chapel on the beach. It was funny, we're all huddled, we've got blankets over us to try to see, just because it was really sunny, like 80. You guys had like negative 12 and wind and snow and schools were closing and it was just, we're laughing, to be honest with you. We just took advantage of it. And people coming over, do you need anything? Is everything okay? We're watching church, it's good. You know, it's hilarious. But last week was just a powerhouse week for BC. My man JD, Jarrett Domes, who is a board member in this church, an elder here, and he just, he delivers so well and so confidently. His preparation for messages and for home group is unlike any other, man. He just puts so much time into it, and I love it. I love that. And it shows up, man. He shows up, and God does a great work. And that was a great word through Psalm 73. And we'll honor him and who he is and what he means to this church and what he means to us as a team and his wisdom and just powerful stuff. But Renee and I and Ethan and Olivia went to Dominican Republic through SCORE, went to the GAP program. What a privilege it is to be a part of that program. They have students from around the country that come into this GAP program. And it's 10 months and they just go through a lot of Spanish class and a lot of Bible classes, and we've been invited in for the last 3 years to be a part of that. And we really left this year, honestly, believing that this was probably the most powerful time through GAP that we've had at SCORE. Not mission type stuff, work that we are taking a trip coming up, but this is through GAP and just the connections that we're able to make with the students. And Ethan got to go and play baseball with bunch of Dominicans and try to make connections with that. And Roberti, who oversees the baseball ministry, he heard that I played softball. He actually wanted me to come play a softball game with him. And he said, and I told him, I said, dude, our church has 3 softball teams. He says, you need to bring one of the teams down and we can play softball for ministry. Like we would do a ministry. I'm like, dude, that's a possibility. Like we'll bring, and BC Blue. Blue will not be going, by the way. Anyways, that's so funny, Brian. We want to win, anyways, but against DR, which are just all baseball players, like we will just get smoked, but it'll be a fun smoking. But it was just great connections, amazing connections, and the students through GAP on fire for Jesus, learning amazing things through the truth of God's word, was able to officiate a baptism. We baptized one of the girls in the ocean, and just brilliance during it was just incredible, incredible, incredible time of ministry. And then was so honored to be able to take Renee and the kids to the beach for a few days and just get a break and just rest and connect and laugh. And just, it was just tremendous, tremendous trip. And we saw God do some amazing things and just a great ministry that is, and just a great leadership. We have Jamie and Justina, two of the leaders in GAP, are part of Believers Chapel. We support them as missionaries, and just a lot came from this trip. A lot more than GAP just came from this trip and the connecting with the director of SCORE and just looking at different things. So, so good, so good. But I want to get into this morning. So much on my heart. And it is going to be one of those days. It's been one of those days already through worship. And I'm going to get through this, but it's just something that God just began. And it started happening about 4 a.m. Yesterday morning. And just, listen, I've had 2 weeks to put into, but as for me, I will trust. But then there's just this present darkness that has to be addressed by the church. I mean, as juiced as I was to continue, but as for me, and this will be a part of that from Psalm 31:14, but there was a breaking happening about 4 a.m. yesterday morning, and just what today may look like. And then unbeknownst to anyone, even this morning, I started reading texts from a very close friend of mine of what his daughter has gone through. And then I got an email from his daughter, and just, I just need us to clue in this morning. Please give God just your full attention today. If there's any kids crying, please take them out. I cannot have a distraction today. I want us to hear this. It's just serious. It's real. And I need my wife to come up and just pray over me and just as we get into this. when we really begin to know is so much better His way. And what is His way? What is His way when it comes to life in the womb? As New York just passed this law that is just, it's dark. And please hear this. This is not Republican or Democrat. This is not a political battle, church. Stop with that. This isn't the Senate. This isn't Cuomo. This is not a political thing. This is a satanic thing. And he is the present power that leads this air. Right? He's in charge of this agenda. It's not New York is not in charge of this agenda. This is an absolute attack, and it's always been an attack from the enemy. But today we're going to bring it out. This is not anti-government. This isn't anti-Governor Cuomo. This isn't Republican or Democrat. This is none of that. This is us seeing the bigger picture that it goes way beyond that. Today is about the day and age that we live in a very present darkness that cannot be ignored. So please, let's remove our mindset of just an abortion issue. Abortion has been around way too long. And it is just sin and it's wrong. And we'll talk into some things about this. But when you begin to, oh, man, when you see a room full of people who stand to their feet and give a standing applause of high fives and patting each other on the back because a woman now has the right to abort a baby when this baby is kicking and making it known that I am here. And to stand and applause that baby's life can be taken. I got sick. My stomach hurt. This is what we applaud today. This is how far we've come. This is the darkness that we live in. Because we can stand and give a round of applause, a standing ovation, because a vote passed for mother to be able to abort her child, even up to the 9th month. And I would encourage you to go find the law and read the law. Please don't listen to, well, it's only if the mother's life is in jeopardy. Please don't. You need to read the law for yourself. And you need to research it. And I've researched it and I've studied this. And there's so much more to it than that. It's her emotional state, her psychological state. It's her age. It really comes down to any reason. Well, I'm emotional about this. Whoop, check the box. It's not just only because the woman's life is in jeopardy. Please read it. And I encourage you to do that yourself. Do not take my word for it. Go read the law yourself and study this thing. And when you really come to a place, His way is so much higher and so much better. And we're going to look at this as you and I come into a place of what it is to be the light. I mean, to take it so real in our walk with Christ and to know that we're called to be bold and to know that you and I are the ones who are called to be the light. And that there is a very present darkness. And He loves it when we ignore Him. Again, this isn't a political thing. It's not because you're Republican or Democrat. That's not it. It's about this very present darkness that's very real. Man, Renee, just pray and then we'll get into this. Come on, amen. I step on your toes again. Okay. I think I'm the only husband who steps on his wife's toes every day. But that just means you're close to me every day, honey. I love it. Mm-hmm. Amen. Come on.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this new day, Lord. We thank you that this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, Lord. We just thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you for your Holy Spirit in this place, Lord, and just the powerful worship, Lord God. We thank you that just the entrance of your word and your spirit just begins to break down any walls that we have, God. And so we just thank you, Lord, that your word is so alive and powerful. God, we thank you that, Lord, as Sean preaches your word, God, that you would just touch every heart. Lord, that blind eyes would be open, that, God, your word would just bring life. Lord, you are life, and your word brings life and hope, God, to every desperate situation, God. And so we just thank you, Lord, that one day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. And we are here in your court, Lord, to hear your word. God, there's nowhere else that we'd want to be, God, because this is where you are. And we just thank you, God, that you would just direct his words, Father, that your words would come alive to us, Lord God, and that, God, they would cut through hardness of hearts, Lord God, that, God, we would see just afresh, Lord, what you have for us, Lord, that we would not be deceived, Lord, that we would walk in the light, that, Father, we would walk in holiness and righteousness and boldness as your people, Father, that we would be a people who honor you, Father, in all that we do. And we just thank you for this word, Lord. Let it come forth in boldness and might, Father. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Come on. Amen. Come on. Flip me to Ephesians 6, please. Ephesians 6. And even Renee says that we would not be deceived. And I love this because you look at Galatians 6, 7. Galatians 6, 7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For every man, whatever you sow, this you shall also reap. If we have that, let's put that up. I want you to see this. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. And that's the present. It doesn't say God will not be mocked, like futuristic, or God has not been mocked. That's now, right here and now. God is not mocked. Yesterday, today, and forever. Don't be deceived. The word deceived here, it means misled. Don't be misled. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. And folks, we've got to buy into this absolute truth. Listen, how long do you think we can get away with this? How long do you think people are going to get away with this? How long do you think that we can last in a God who is holy? In Psalms 127, it says, God is the one who created life, and in that womb is a gift. It's a reward that children, watch this now, children are a gift from God. And we come to a place. Just take life and take life and take life and take life. And now, here in New York, it can be taken all the way up to that ninth month. And any mom who's carried a baby knows when that baby is kicking and you turn a specific way, that baby lets you know, I'm trying to sleep this way. And the baby's like, funny, because I'm trying to sleep this way. And then you eat something that you like that he or she didn't like, and you know it, they let you know. I didn't really like that one, Mom, so you should change spices or something because I'm going to mess you up for a little bit. And you see, God sees it all. The enemy loves us to walk with our head in the sand. He loves us to be just a bunch of deceived, misled people. And I love Galatians. It says, do not be mocked. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this, what you're sowing, this is what you're going to reap. And you look at this, and I want you to see this in Ephesians 6, because I want you to know this isn't, and we have to fight properly, church. This isn't a political fight. This isn't Democrats versus Republicans. Look at this. 6:12 says this, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it is against the rulers and against the powers and against the world forces of darkness. There is a present darkness in this. And we really, listen, what is the opposite of darkness is light. And what are you and I called? You and I are called the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. And it's amazing to me that Jesus would leave all of us behind, you and I, who are his, who belong to him. And in Matthew 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, listen, you are the light of the world. Church, you and I are called to fight against darkness. We're not called to fight against man. We're called to fight against darkness, this evil presence of this day. Watch this, the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. This is what verse 12 says, the spiritual forces of wickedness. The spiritual forces of wickedness. It's not a mankind thing. This is spiritual. This is you and I fighting on our knees. This is you and I praying and praying and praying and praying. This is you and I being broken over something that's just not right. This is you and I being bold to say, listen, I'm one who's going to make a difference, man. I'm one who's going to speak truth. I'm one who's going to pray. I'm one who's going to care for the young lady who's on this teeter-totter of what am I supposed to do? I'm a single young lady, and man, I got pregnant. I'm just so confused, and I just don't know what to do. Where are we in this? To say, no, man, we're going to make a difference. And my king has left me behind. Sometimes I think, man, the moment I got saved, it would have been just great just to go home. That's not the plan. It's never been his plan. He says, no, that would have been great for you just to come home, but who'd have been left? Like if everyone just did that, then no one would be here to be light. You are the salt of the earth. The word salt, it's a preserving element. You are to preserve what is right. Listen, we aren't fighting against flesh and blood. This is truly a spiritual battle against an enemy who's very real, against an enemy who hates. He steals, he kills, and he destroys. When you look at this abortion issue, it's stealing life. It's killing, and it's destroying lives. Many times, baby and mother who's left to pick up the pieces of what she's done. And there's such brokenness in that, and there's hurt in that, and there's pain in that. And even in that, man, please hear me in this. Even in those who've gone through that decision, where is us to love and embrace and encourage and build and say, God forgives and God has a plan for you and God loves you. For even those who've gone through that pain and that brokenness, and they're shattered. That we not stiff-arm these amazing young ladies that God has certainly created, but we love and we embrace and we encourage and we build and we speak life to, that God would have a plan. And we look at this and just know, we have to know whom we're fighting. If you know whom you're fighting, then you can fight. If we just want to get all upset with the politics, we've missed it. You've missed the big idea. The enemy loves us to just fight at some stupid political level and miss the evil that's going on in the heavens, the spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. If we miss that, we've missed. Come on, turn with me to Luke. I'm going to give you my favorite place in Luke 1 that is absolutely this incredible, incredible picture of life in the womb. And this is Mary, and she's pregnant, and Elizabeth is pregnant, and you've got Mary pregnant with Jesus. You've got her relative, her cousin Elizabeth, married Elizabeth, who's pregnant with John the Baptizer. So John and Jesus are cousins. Elizabeth is with Mary, and Mary shows up, and Mary's juiced, man. She's pumped about having this baby Jesus, and Elizabeth is pumped about having baby John. And look at verse 41. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, what'd the baby do? What did the baby do? When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. So the baby, and this is, she's 6 months pregnant at this time. The baby, she has 3 months to go. The baby leaped when she heard Mary's voice. Is that, we got to read this right. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 42, and she cried out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed are the fruit of your womb. Watch this now. Verse 43, and how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? Like Elizabeth is pumped, like Mary, you've come to me. Now watch this. This is huge. Verse 44. And behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, what happened? And what? So even at 3 months to go, we see at the sound of another woman's voice, John, who was already named John, he was given the name John before this was even going to happen. He's already been given a name by God, John. So 3 months to go, baby John in this womb hears a voice. Now, biblically speaking, we trust the word is true. God knows all things. We see that this baby leaped, made movement, and there was emotion attached to John in the womb who was filled with joy. And yet, in this present darkness, and again, abortion is wrong on any level. And you come to this point. Watch this now. Please hear me. You come to this point. And today, really, my heart has been just in this wrecked place. Because you can just see evil rising, church. This isn't just about the abortion. And this is about you beginning to see where even now up to birth, when a baby is biblically, we see a baby is kicking and moving and has emotion and has joy that's leaping, that we now, because of a rise of a present darkness, we now legally, and I don't know what it all means in the law, in sense where even a doctor doesn't even need to perform abortions anymore. I don't know what that looks like. But that's a part of this law. And you have to come to a place. Say, man, we are called to be the light to the world. And we're called to be salt. And we're called to preserve goodness and to preserve truth. And come to a place that, church, our heart should be just wrecked over this. And we should come to this place to realize what it really looks like. Of how we look at Ephesians 6 and say the spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Man, we're fighting. This isn't politics. We're fighting the enemy. And we're fighting Satan. And it's his plan to take out. It's his plan to destroy. It's his plan to murder. The Bible says in John 8 that he was a murderer from the beginning. He's an absolute liar. And he fills people with deceit. These people are just pawns of the bigger worse. Of the bigger bad. Of the bigger wolf. These people are just pawns of the enemy. This is where we got to go with this thing. That they're just pawns of the enemy. That they come to a place to begin to realize what this really looks like. And what is really taking place. And what is my place as a follower of Christ. What is my place as one who just really says, I've committed my life to you. I'm going to serve you. You are my king. I surrender to you. And you've called me to be light. And you've called me to be salt. Well, light always pushes back darkness. Always, always, always. And the church, the bride of Christ, is called to be the light to the world. And my heart more goes out to really having a deeper understanding of the present darkness that we live in. And that we as a people of God, who serve a holy God, we wouldn't put our head in the sand and say, oh, that's someone else's business. But what happens when there's these beautiful, amazing, God-gifted, God-breathed young ladies who find themselves sitting in an abortion clinic so confused and so broken and so hurt, and they just don't know what to do? And you look at this and I just want to read this and we'll close with this. And I just, And again, I came in this morning pumped about Psalm 31:14. It's still on our list today to get into the message. But from the other, just from, it was Saturday morning at 4 a.m. There's just been this, sometimes it's just unavoidable. And it's just this stirring that goes on. And just like, okay, I get it. For me, this is amazing. And then you go through yesterday and you go through this morning up early. And you're thinking, is it just for me? Because I can't break this thing, man. And I show up and I read a text from a very close friend of mine. And he's just a dad and he's a granddad. Not knowing what I've been wrestling with or what I've been broken with. Let me just kind of read you this text. And this is, I had permission to share this. I actually talked to the young lady this morning. I've been on the phone with her and received an email from her. And so I have complete permission with this. And this is from a daughter to a father. And this was just written yesterday. A young lady who lived in our area for years, she went off to California and found herself single at 24. Grew up in a godly home. But yet in her email to me, she was just like, I lived a life of purity. Please, young people, don't miss this. And then everyone around me is just having sex and saying how great it is. And they're being a little loose and I'm not accustomed to that. And I was saving myself. And 24, she sleeps with one guy. And she says it right here. One guy, just one guy. And I find myself 24 single and pregnant. And against everything that I've ever grown up with, she says, as I find myself in an abortion clinic, and she says, I'm just numb. And I actually walk out of that abortion clinic with a date. 2 weeks from that day. And this is just so fresh. And this is from a daughter to her dad. I just want to share a raw mama heart moment. This is to her dad. My heart's about to burst. I'm not going to say her name, but so my daughter just got nominated to represent her school for the National Student Leadership Conference. They only choose the best of the best around the country and even the world. They already know that she wants to go into engineering, so they will be sending her to one of the following schools for leadership experience: the American University, Fordham, Georgetown, Georgia Tech, Harvard, Berkeley, Vanderbilt, or Yale. To get an insider perspective on her future career with nationally renowned engineers and research professors, she would be going behind the scenes of important corporate research and governmental institutions during her trip. She will also get certified of completion, which will be counted as college credit, personalized letters of referrals from these colleges, institutions, able to get scholarships. She says, I'm blown away and humbled by the favor on this child. I've literally been in deep thought over the last weeks. Watch this. Over the fact that I almost made the worst decision of my life when I found out that I was pregnant. You see, this teenager is now 16 years old. They now live in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and she is this outstanding, incredibly smart, as you can read, but there's so much more to the story. She is on a travel soccer team from Pittsburgh that is ranked fourth in the nation. She was at a tournament in Florida just recently. Watch this now. There were 71 scouts at this tournament to watch her play soccer. 71. And she says, in that 2-week period, from the moment I went into that abortion clinic, for 2 weeks, she says, it was just amazing how God knew every detail. I had people who did not know Jesus, people who were not biblically inclined, people who weren't saved. She said, I even had people who were pro-choice, who really supported the abortion agenda. I had all of these same people come up to me in a 2-week period and say, don't do it. This is the worst decision of your life. You got to think this through. I mean, she just said it wasn't any hit on the church. She's just like, it's amazing. And she says it in her email, God can use anybody to get a message across. These people just came out of the woodwork and said, what are you thinking? Don't do this. It's the worst decision of your life. I love that it's a daughter to her dad says, the fact that I almost made the worst decision of my life, watch this, when I found out that I was pregnant. My daughter is a leader for her generation. She's crazy smart. Watch this. And there is a powerful destiny on her life. She goes in her testimony, she shares that the boyfriend she had, the one guy that she had, you see, they got married and then they had this amazing second gift, and she's 14 and they live this life that honors Jesus Christ and they love Christ and God did this. Church, when we know God can do anything, He can just do anything. And this is a family now of four who have followed Christ and have given their lives to Jesus. And could you imagine what this 16-year-old's life mean now, knowing, no, this wasn't a thought of abortion. We had a date to get this child aborted. From a mother's point of view, what if? What if I would have gone back in that 2 weeks? And I'm telling you, all this just, this whole thing came this morning. And here I'm just wrestling myself. And I just look at this and we just, church, what happens when you come to a place to say the enemy is very real and he has a very evil agenda to take out the very gifts that God has given. And to know, man, when there is a child in that womb, there is life. It's very real life. And that child, from the foundations of the world, has been called by God. We have a very real enemy who wants to take that child out. And I love it because even in her email, she says, the enemy had a target on my child. What happens if you look at that as a church and everyone who will follow and be light, to really believe that the enemy has a target on every womb? What happens when you begin to realize we do stand in a very present darkness? What happens when you go further than that and say, okay, I get it, I see it, but God's called me to make a difference. God's called us to be light. And God's called us to be salt and to preserve. What happens when you come to a place, honestly, to be there for a young lady who's struggling, a young lady who's pregnant, a young lady who's going in this teeter-totter because it's become such norm and it's become so easy. What happens when that's the option and she has 45 people saying, you need to do this. You're way too young. You can't handle it. You're not ready for motherhood. Man, you know how much babies cost? You know what the real cost? You know, and the voice is strong and the voice is loud and the voice is overpowering. You know how easy it is? You don't even need to go to a doctor anymore. You can just go here to a clinic, or you can do this or you can do that. It's just, it's been made so simple. What if you're the voice? What if you're the one who comes within that 2-week period and say, you're about to make the biggest mistake of your life? This gift in your womb has a destiny. And God knows his name. And God knows her name. Come on, just bow our heads. We've got to cruise. You come to a place this morning and this is totally different from normal with BC, and I'm so pumped you're here. Thank you for being here today, but this is just real truth, and it's just, church, we gotta be light. Know the generation that we're in. And I love it because this mom says, God, put her in this generation at this specific time, in this specific season of all of life, of the timeline of all eternity. He says she has a destiny and she is going to make a difference and she has leadership qualities and she has this gift and she has that gift. And what if no one came in those 2-week period? The target on her life would have been successful. What if God would use you or me? Realize the generation that we live in. And just love. And just love and truth. Not bashing, not hammering, but love and truth. And speak into the lives of young women. Even in the midst of a mistake, even in the midst of an unwanted pregnancy. Even in the midst of that, speak life into them. God has a plan. This child has a destiny. And I love her story. I love her testimony. Man, that the father of this child, we got married. God, give us another child. And we live our lives to honor and reflect the glory of our God. So good. There's hope. There's hope. Well, it's got to come through us, church. Revelation says they overcame them, meaning Satan and the dark forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. They overcame them by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Father, we're broken today in this. God, help us as a church. God, help us as a people. To stand for light. We know the darkness that we're in. The enemy's already been defeated. We know that. He's been disarmed. But he has an agenda. And you've left us as the church to stand and make a difference. You've left us as the church to be light, to love the broken, to love the confused, to love that beautiful young woman who's pregnant and confused, God, that we would speak life to her, Father, that there's hope and you've given gifts. Father, please help us to stand in the way of darkness. I believe you've called us to get in the way. You've called us to be light. You've called us to preserve. And help us to bring hope to the broken, please. Father, you love. You've got a destiny on these children. Help us to stand firm. God, help us to walk in light. Help us to make a difference. Help us to see what we need to see. In Jesus' name. Amen.